Hey guys, do you have problems sometimes in your home getting your schoolwork done because your little brothers and sisters are running around driving everybody crazy? Or are you a mom whose older teens are having problems getting their schoolwork done? Well, stay tuned because we have some answers for you.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hey, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm your host, Meredith Curtis, and I'm so excited to be talking to you today. We are going to talk about little children. Yes, teens, we're going to be talking about little children. Moms and dads, please feel free to listen in. I'm going to be focusing my talk today on the teenagers, but of course, everything is for everybody. You know that. So I hope that some of the things I'll share today with the teens will be helpful for you mom and dads to just understand how to help out your teens and how to help out your little ones. We're going to talk about how to learn with younger children. And part of that is going to be how to learn with them around. And then we're going to actually at the end be talking about how to learn with them. And that is possible. So it's really a lot of fun. We're going to just dive right in and talk about that. I lead a lot of classes in a co-op year after year, and often those are history classes or economic classes or English classes, and they require a lot of reading, and the books aren't always so easy. So often I have a conversation like I had with my friend Mark. So Mark comes up to me and says, "Can you pray for me? Because I just can't get the work done." And I said, "What do you mean?" And I think to myself, is he tricking me? And he's like, "Miss Meredith, I really don't know what to do because it is very hard in my house to get anything done. There is so much noise. The kids run around screaming." And he goes on to paint this picture. Now, I know because I'm the mother of five and my kids are pretty well spread apart. So when my oldest was graduated, Katie Beth just graduated from high school, my littlest one was starting first grade. So my kids aren't like in a little tight pack. They're kind of spread out. So the older ones definitely had to deal with little ones running around squealing and excited and having friends over. And so if that's you, if you're an older sibling, tune in. And if it isn't you, still tune in because we are going to talk about things that apply to you as we go. So my friend Mark is painting me this picture of the kids are always screaming. They're always running around. But I've been in their home, so I know it's not an always thing. It's a sometimes thing. But Mark is being set up because every time he's just concentrating and getting things right, suddenly there's a lot of noise from his younger siblings, and that makes it really hard because for Mark, and some of you are like this and some of you are not, once he gets distracted, it's very hard for him to get back to work or focused back in. So a distraction really is harmful for him. Now, that's just not the only conversation I've had. I've had so many teens talk to me, and it's so funny because sometimes I'll be in life group and we'll divide up in small groups after Bible study to pray, and I'll end up with a teenager and they'll say, "Hey, can you pray for me? My house is so noisy. I can't get anything done." Or another one I hear a lot is, "My mom is always interrupting my school. She wants me to throw a load of laundry in, or she wants me to watch the little kids while she runs to the store." And it'll be at a time when I'm trying to get stuff done, and then I end up not getting anything done. Then later, I'm not caught up with my school. Then we get into a big fight. And I just don't know what to do or how to handle that situation. So I'm going to start with that because I was a mom with teenagers and then I had these little ones and I did not want to take my little ones to the grocery store. So I was in the habit a lot of saying, "Hey, Juliana, I'm running to the store. Can you watch the babies?" Or, "Hey, Katie Beth, I have to go run this errand. Do you mind watching the babies?" Of course, you know, I still call Shine and Jim the babies, and Jim is about a foot taller than me, and they're both in college. But you know how it is. Once you're the babies, you're the babies. So there I am, just constantly thinking, well, of course, what kind of problems could they cause? Because as a mom with lots of children, I had learned over the years to tune out the noise and still get stuff done. But just because I could tune out the noise doesn't mean my older children could tune out the noise when they're trying to study. So my children are so respectful and so gracious, and they came to me and they just kind of shared the problem, like, here, Mom, you've given us all this work to do and it's not easy. And I sighed, yes, that was true. But it's very hard for us to get stuff done if we're babysitting, if we're having to deal with the kids and their friends are playing and they're making a lot of noise. And wow, I did. They just shared it with me in a way that I understood. And so I'd set up school hours. And then during those school hours, we didn't have little friends over and my children didn't have to babysit for me or run an errand for me or something like that. I just became very respectful of their school hours. And honestly, that helped them a lot, but it also helped me to grow in being aware of my children and what their needs were. So the first thing I'm going to tell you, if that's you and you are struggling to get stuff done, don't go say to your mom, Meredith said on this Finish Well audio. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Just go to your mom and just explain to her what it's like and ask her if there's a way that you guys could work together, that you could have set apart time without responsibility. I learned to not even interrupt my kids when they were studying. There were things they needed to do, but if they hadn't gotten something done, I waited till the schoolwork was over and I might go in and say, hey, Jim, I know that you forgot this morning to unload the dishwasher. The minute you have time to take a break or at the end of your schoolwork, I really need you to hop on that first thing. So in return for me, like setting aside that time and guarding it and protecting them, then they also worked very hard to be faithful and get all their stuff done. So I didn't ever have to interrupt them because sometimes things just do need to be done. Sometimes there are emergencies, but for the most part, that just worked really well for our family. The younger kids learned to respect the older kids. The older kids learned to really appreciate and enjoy the little kids because they weren't constantly being interrupted and bothered by them. So anyway, so you're listening and it's hard for you to get schoolwork done, then I'm going to encourage you to just sit down with your parents and talk about the problem with them and ask them if you guys can brainstorm for solution. And that was our solution. We just set aside quiet hours. If the kids got too squirrely, sometimes I just would pack the little ones up and take them to a park or something. But it really made a lot of peace in our home, and it enabled my children to get a lot done. So I was really excited about it. So that is one solution, but there can be an even deeper issue, not just for older siblings, but for younger siblings, maybe toward their older siblings and things like that. And that's that when people annoy us, or they block our goals. You know, if you ever study about anger, it talks about blocking your goals. But when that happens, sometimes we develop a distaste or a negative attitude, and we can develop negative attitudes toward our brothers and sisters. And the saddest thing I ever see is siblings that don't love each other and aren't good friends, because I really believe that God doesn't make a mistake when he puts us in a family. And I really believe that your brothers and sisters can be your best friends. And someone once said to me that your siblings are the only one who go through every stage of life with you. Your parents are there at the beginning, but for most of us, we lose our parents when we're in our 50s or 60s, sometimes not till our 70s, but they don't end life with us. Our spouses, God gives us a beautiful husband or wife, and that's so wonderful, but they're not with us in our childhood, in our home. So our brothers and sisters go with us from the very beginning to the very end. So they're play a very special role in our life. And it's such a blessing when brothers and sisters can be good friends. And there are so many different things that play into friendship, like personality and age and things like that. I want to ask you, if you're an older sibling, how do you view your younger siblings? Do you view them as a gift or do you view them as a burden? Because if you can get God's perspective on why you have younger brothers and sisters, then it will change everything for you. Because God places us in our families to bless us, not to hurt us, and really to prepare us and fill our lives with joy. A lot of times I laugh because someone will have a real problem with a sibling because their personality, and then who do they marry? Someone with that same personality, or maybe they have a boss with that same personality. So God doesn't make mistakes, and sometimes even the hard things are there to help us learn and understand and grow. If you want to really be filled with joy, then ask the Lord to see your brothers and sisters through God's eyes. Now, this is true if you're a younger sibling and you have older brothers and sisters, and maybe they make you feel left out sometimes. Maybe you're not like the easiest younger sibling to get along with, so you can kind of work on that. But if you can change your perspective and realize my brothers and sisters are a gift to me, and God has given them to me as friends, it will really make a difference. And I think you'll start to really enjoy the relationship that you can have with them. What is your role if you're an older sibling? And also for those of you who are younger siblings, maybe your older brothers and sisters are married and you're an aunt or uncle. So that's a huge thing, you know, to be an aunt or uncle. And all of this will apply to you, especially if your brothers and sisters live nearby and your nieces and nephews come over a lot, which is true. We're so blessed with us. So Jimmy, you know, my youngest, Jimmy and Shine did not get to be older siblings with lots of younger little ones. But now in high school and college, they got to enjoy, well, nephews. We don't have nieces yet, but hopefully. So the first thing is that God calls you to be a hero to your younger siblings. I have to laugh because when I was little, there was Batman and we would watch it on TV. Batman, you know, and then there'd be these big words that would come up because Batman would be funny. Someone would go whop, bam, you know, and it was just so funny because there are these real people in the show and then these words are in cartoon writing. It was really funny. So I grew up with Batman, and then of course there were the cartoon superheroes. But now, you know, Marvel has putting out all these movies and everybody loves the superheroes and wow, they're so cool. But the problem is, except for maybe Captain America, but I'm still, you know, the jury's still out on him. But when I look at these superheroes, I think, golly, 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 they are not the best role models in so many ways for little children to emulate because they've got so many flaws, not just personality flaws, but really moral flaws and character flaws. And it kind of breaks my heart because I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want them to have superheroes that they can look up to. So I'm going to tell you a secret that you may already know, but you may not know. But children so look up to teenagers, and children so look up to older children. You'll see this, like a baby will just see a little preschooler or a you know, a young 6 or 7 year old, and they will be like, oh, a child, a child, a child, and they'll just want to be with that child. And then those preschoolers and 6 or 7 year olds, you know, they see the 10 or 11 year olds and they're like, oh, wow, I want to be with them. And then the 10 or 11 year olds see the high school kids and they're saying, oh, the high school kids. And the high school kids see the college kids and they say, wow, the college kids. So there's something about being just a few years older than children and teenagers that it really, you have a special gift from the Lord to impact the people younger than you. Now you may think, oh, I don't know if that's a special gift from the Lord, but I promise you it is, because you can be a hero. And the best way that you can be a hero is how you live. Are you an example of virtue and love and courage? Are you polite? Are you kind? Are you respectful? Are you a hard worker? Are you a hard studier? Are you gentle with young kids? Do you scoop them up and give them a horsey ride on the floor, piggyback ride on your back? What kind of person are you? Because children want to be loved, and they want to look at older children, older teens, older young adults, and they want to say, are you a hero? Can I be like you? And sometimes, even if we're not hero material, younger kids will imitate us anyway, because that is just, like I said, that gift from the Lord that can be abused. Like, younger children are going to look towards you. And so I would just really encourage you, the next time you walk in the room and see kids younger than you, say to yourself, I am a superhero. And, you know, whether I'm a good superhero or a bad superhero, these kids are going to imitate me. So how am I going to live, and what am I going to do so that those children can look up to me and I can be a blessing to them? Well, we're going to finish talking about learning with children. We're going to talk about how to teach younger children and why that will benefit you. And also, we're going to talk about, can you learn with little children? Is that possible? And how can that all work when you're in a situation of a large group of children, from little ones to teens? How does that work? So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, Powerline Productions.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus as you homeschool your children. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, as well as homeschool classes like economics, finances, and business. Meredith Curtis designed this class for high school seniors and adults. It takes an intense look at macroeconomics from a biblical free market perspective and challenges students to apply biblical principles to all aspects of economics and business. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now, back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome back. We have been talking about how to learn when little ones are around, especially if they're noisy, how to handle that situation. And we've also been talking about the right perspective to have on children, and especially our own siblings or nieces and nephews. And we started talking about how to be a hero and how to be a good example to younger children. The next thing we're going to talk about is how to teach younger children, and why on earth would you even want to teach younger children? Well, that can benefit you, because you see, one of the best ways that we can learn material that we're studying is to teach it to someone else. Now, you have a captive audience at home, especially if you're being a hero and you're showing love and extending mercy and grace to your younger siblings. They're going to want to be around you. And if you say, hey, do you want to hear about quantum physics? They're going to say, oh, yes, Bobby's teaching it to me. My big brother Bobby, who's so super cool and so loving. Yes, he's my hero. I want to hear about quantum physics. Or maybe it's older sister Betty is so beautiful and so gentle and sweet. Yes, Betty, I do want to hear about electron shells and how electrons jump those shells. And so here's what you do. If you are wanting to learn something, you're studying for a test, you're just trying to learn material, take some of that material and try to teach it to one of your younger siblings and try to explain it in a language that they can understand. The process of doing that builds so many pathways in your brain. If you're going to look at it from a physiological point of view, it's such a benefit to you. But not only that, in a practical way, it will strengthen your relationship with your younger siblings. It will give you confidence in what you're learning. And it's a win-win-win situation. The younger children that you took time with to share things with are going to be so blessed that their older brother or sister just stopped what they were doing and spent a little bit of time with them and thought they were so grown up they could understand something so difficult. And to think that their older brother or sister took the time to make it understandable and now they know about quantum physics. Wow, that's so cool. So it really is a win-win situation. One of the things that we do in our life skills class, I created a bunch of life skill classes for my daughters and my son, and my friend Laura's sons used them, and her daughter, and several other families in our church, and now, of course, other people are using them, but we did a lot of activities in those books that involved teaching younger children, and I'll give you an example. In the God's Girls 101 or the Real Men 101 about growing in Christ, one of the things they learned about were the foundations of the faith. So reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, evangelism, and fellowship. And so they learned about those things. And then they created booklets for younger children, and they actually would read them to the younger children to teach them about the foundations of the faith. Now, in the process of having to take kind of big truths and big things and simplify them and teach them to younger children, all of my children learned how to explain the foundations of the faith very well. And over the years, I've heard them tell many people about, okay, here are the foundations of the faith. This is what you need to build in your life. But they also learned it so deeply in their own life. And all five of my children participate in all five of the foundations of the faith. Now, I'm not saying because they sat down and taught a younger child that, like, that is some kind of guarantee you're going to do it for the rest of your life. But it was part of the process of building disciplines and patterns and habits in their life. So another thing that my children did was they did a booklet on how to have a quiet time. One of my daughters, who loves to make films, she made a video. So it was really cute, little video about how to have a quiet time. And she showed it to some of the kids in church because she was more of a younger sibling. Her brother already knew that. He was only 2 years younger. But that was so exciting because she used her gifts and she created this video for children to understand. So here is all of these great things that you can do to help children understand, but more than that, in the act of teaching and simplifying, when you take truth and you simplify it, something happens in your brain that cements that information and that knowledge inside. And as you teach it to someone younger and you see their eyes light up and they get it, like, oh, this is how I can spend time with the Lord by having a quiet time, and you impact their life. Wow. But you know what? That sets you up for wanting to fulfill the Great Commission, which is a whole nother life skills class, but I won't even talk about that now. So that's just something we have done. One of the things that we've used over the years to impart truth into our teens is to help them impart life into younger children and teenagers. And that's really, really, really been a blessing. Now, another thing that we do in our homeschool co-op at our church is that we always have one or two classes that everyone is there, from the little ones to the big ones. 1 year we were studying 20th century history, and we had labs where we put, we called them history labs. And we did things like we built race car tracks and we had race car races and we built a miniature golf course and we played miniature golf together. We made some radio shows. We acted out some dramas and videotaped them. We reenacted some battles. And we did all kinds of different things. And we called it History Lab. We did some 50s style dances. I mean, we just really had fun. But in doing all those things, everyone was together, from the babies and toddlers all the way to high school. And we all learned together, and it was hands-on stuff. And so when we did things like crafts, hands-on crafts, like we did things like splatter painting, we took a bunch of boxes and we divided up into two groups to see which group could build the tallest skyscraper. So we just did crazy things and fun things and neat things. But in all of that, all ages were together. And so why do we do that? I lead the co-op. So, you know, it comes from me. It's something I feel really passionate about, because God put people in families, and families are not segregated by age. It's all different ages and families. Age segregation actually comes from a humanist philosopher, and his name was Piaget, and he did a lot of studies with children, and he kind of said, okay, this is normal, and this is normal, and this is normal. But, you know, the truth is people grow at their own rates, and just because you put a bunch of seven-year-olds together doesn't mean they're all at the same level reading or doing math or interacting socially or their relationship with God or anything. They're all really different. Now, there are things that we need to learn incrementally, and I don't think that a six-year-old could be learning physics at a deep level, maybe at a superficial level. So we definitely, to learn, it's fine to divide up by age and to do age-appropriate things, but to live a life segregated by age is very dangerous. It's number one, not biblical. But number two, it causes us to be very focused on what's going on in this season in my life and not to focus on what's going on in other people in their season in life. You know, when you mix married people and single people together, they have different experiences. There's a lot that overlaps, but they're different things. And it gives married people more compassion and single people more compassion for one another when they're together and they're not separated. It's the same with different ages because we go through different things. You know, someone who's just starting puberty and it's very emotional and all of that, you know, they're going through some different things than maybe the six-year-old who's learning to read. But when we can be together and spending time together and be building friendships together with people of different ages, it builds so much compassion and grace and mercy in us. And it keeps us from becoming very self-focused. And it enriches our life because every season is so good. Every age is so wonderful. And we can't live other ages again, but we can enjoy them through our friendships with other people. So I'm just so for combining ages whenever you can. And one of the things that I notice is that when we have these group settings where there's all ages together, that in a natural way, the older children will help the younger children. And I know that's been a real benefit for my two younger children because they didn't have to help little children all the time. But now in this co-op setting, they have the opportunity to, hey, let me help you cut this out. Or, hey, no, move it a little here. We'll paste it here. Or try to say those lines again for the radio show. You almost have it. I know you can do it. I saw those things in my children as teenagers with the little ones in the co-op. And it was so exciting to me because that's the kind of virtue, the godly character that I want to see in my children. So if you're listening and you're a teenager and you're thinking, okay, that's kind of philosophical. How does it relate to me? Well, how it relates to you is that when you go into a mixed age setting, ask yourself how you can serve and look for younger children that you can reach out to and say, hey, can I help you? What can I do to help you? And allow younger children to serve you. So say you're working on building something. We did one history lab. We did not studying the 20th century, studying ancient times. We did a history lab where we built a ziggurat out of cookie wafers. So the older kids might say, hey, little Samuel, who is 4, why don't you come and help me build this? And you let him help you and you reach out in that way that other children can serve you. The bottom line is that when you learn to relate to people of different ages and love them, whether they're your siblings, whether they're people in your homeschool co-op, whether they're people in your church, whether they're extended family, niece and nephews, it creates a heart in you that's beautiful and tender and pleasing to God. And it develops virtue in you. And sometimes children see things in such a unique way. So many times I've been in a group setting like that and had a child just 6 or 7 blurt something out. And we're all like, oh, what? Wow, that's such a cool perspective. I'll never forget that now. And of course, the older teens are taking that and they're mulling it over and they're coming up with new ideas and new pathways in their brain that's cementing learning. But it's also exciting. So bottom line, we can learn together. Older ones, little ones, even really older ones like me can learn with teenagers, can learn with children because I'm always growing. I'm always learning and you're always growing. You're always learning even when you graduate. But it's so exciting when we're all together with all ages. So bottom line, if you can learn to love and impact young children, you can change the world. Because all of us, Jesus said, have to become like children to inherit the kingdom of God. So it's one step into that, fulfilling the Great Commission, being the man or woman God wants you to be. But the other part of it is, it's really fun. It's really fun to be with little children. Don't forget, if they're interrupting you a lot when you do your schoolwork, sit down and talk to your mom and dad so you can get that all straightened out. But learn to love and appreciate them and know that no one is in your family that is a mistake. God put your family together and it is such a blessing. So thank you so much for joining me. And I'll look forward to talking to you next time. Until then, God bless you in every way. Keep serving Jesus with all of your heart. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.